Blog Talk Radio.
River Nile music from our friend Nazim Rashid this morning. This is Professor Applewhite coming to you live for the student-to-teacher radio show this morning on the Internet. You know what we're going to talk about today, listeners? Adults with disabilities in the workforce. Now, we talk about adults with disabilities, adult students with disabilities many, many times. I mean, that's the theme of our show. And what we try to do is avoid the fact that we're not going to make a big focus on disabilities. And the reason why is because we know that everyone has some kind of ability that they dis. Okay, now wait a minute. Let me just make sure that I've got that right now. When we dis an ability, that means that we omit something that we feel that we're not able to do. And so that's why we're not going to focus on disabilities. We're going to focus on abilities, what we are differently abled to do, looking for alternatives, looking for detours to reach our goals. And so we're not going to focus so much on that particular concept of disability. We're going to call ourselves differently abled and look at ways that we can enter the workforce, retain ourselves in the workforce, and become successful contributors in the workforce, successful contributors in our communities. I truly believe, and I have for years and years, since the very beginning of my career, working within this population. And so I'm going to tell my age now, about 35, 40 years. Tell you that I have never met someone who is perfect. Everyone that I have met has some type of dis in their abilities. But in the same voice, I've also met people that no matter what, if they are willing and they are willing to find alternatives, can reach whatever goal they set. Adaptation, big word. Write it down. I know some of you listeners have pens and pencils because I know some of my students are listening. Adaptation, big word, big concept, adapting to what we have, not adjusting. Adjusting means that we have the ability to change circumstances or that they may be temporary, like the volume on a stereo. The volume on a stereo might be a little loud or too low. So you adjust it. When you're truly adapting to a situation, then you must adapt to the fact that the volume button is broken. How about that one? It's broken. Whatever volume it's set at is the volume that you must adapt to. And that's the difference between adaptation and adjustment. So kudos for you, for any of you out there, including myself, including our special guests that are going to be here this morning. We have Larry Wagner, who will be joining us from the Arizona Bridge to Independent Living here in Arizona. Now, I know we are a global broadcast, and so there will be agencies in many of the other countries or states very similar to ABLE, but I want you to listen to what this kind gentleman has to say about the workforce incentives that are out there and what this particular agency is doing in Arizona, and see if you can come up with an agency that's comparable and look for that agency or take down the information, look on the Internet and investigate and let us know if we can help you advocate to build something like this, similar like this, in your own communities. We'll say good morning to our guests now, and I'm sure that Mr. Wenger is on the line here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite, 480-307.
I'm here.
Hi. Hello there, Larry. Is this Larry? Hello, let me get this right. Hello, is this Larry?
Yes,
okay,
I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. I'm glad to have you here this morning. And
great
I just
there.
Did an introduction for you, but I wanted to make sure that I give you enough time to tell us a little bit about yourself, okay? So one moment, please. Let me just welcome our other guest on the line here. Good morning, 216. Looks like is this an Ohio number?
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad you're joining us this morning for the show. Please stay tuned.
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, 824.
Hello. How are you doing? I'm glad to be joining the show this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Sounds like a familiar voice, familiar listener.
Yeah, this is Tom Baker.
Pleasure. Always a pleasure to have you. You are truly a loyal listener and supporter of what we do at White Apple Institute. We thank you so much for being on the line this morning to listen to this great show. Thank you for being here, Tom. And good morning, 797.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, Ms. Crafty.
Okay, I can't get to everybody this morning, but I would like to say thank you for joining us on the show this morning. And what is your name?
My name is Kelly.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, let's get back to Larry Wenger here because we have a short show today. We end at 10:30, and we want to talk about the Arizona Bridge to Independent Living and hear some encouraging words and kind of like an overview of the available resources that are being offered by ABLE for workforce incentives. Larry, tell us a little bit about yourself, and I would just want to kind of ask you to overview how you became involved with ABLE.
Sure thing. Well, I've been with ABLE for almost 8 years now, and during that entire time, I've worked in the Employment Services program, and I'll say more about that in a second. But prior to that, I spent an additional 7 years working with a Center for Independent Living up in Michigan. So I've been in the independent living movement, if you will, and dealing with employment issues in one aspect or another for almost 15 years now. So,
oh, dating yourself
been quite a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful.
So I've always, I'm a person with a disability myself, so I've kind of been down that road of struggling to find employment and now have the fortune of working in a place that I can help other people with that same issue, helping them to find employment. Been on Social Security disability benefits and all those things, and so I have that experience, and I approach what I do and my work with, you know, that perspective in mind, and I think it's been very helpful for me. So, so I can say a little bit about, ABLE's Employment Services Program and what we do. We really kind of focus in on, three different areas, if you will, all of them with the idea that we're helping folks who have a disability, who are on one form of benefits or another, to go back to work and become more self-sufficient and independent, even though they have a disability, if you will. So we do the probably the most well-known program that we do is Ticket to Work, and that program has been around for about 10 years now. And really the goal of the program is to help Social Security disability recipients to get the long-term services and supports they need to go back to work and then have long-term support after that to deal with benefits issues and work incentives and to help them maintain employment. We also participate in a research project that's called BOND, and that's Benefit Offset National Demonstration Project, again, for people who get Social Security disability, this is a different way of testing some work incentives. One of the things that they're looking at here is, does offering people, so when you go to work and you're on Social Security disability, after a time, you get to a point where you are earning over what they call substantial gainful activity and your benefits go to zero.
Yes.
This is a way that Social Security is testing. Once you reach that, what we call the cash cliff, you're earning enough and for long enough that your benefits stop, they're testing a two-for-one type thing. So for every $2 you earn above SGA, they take a dollar out of your check.
Yeah, and that's a scary thing, Larry. That's why, as a matter of fact, that's one of the things I really wanted to address, if you don't mind talking a little bit about that, is the fear that's associated with moving off of the disability check. I mean, this is a fear factor for many people that are receiving that check. Is, am I really going to, you know, are they marking me? Or are they going to say that they're going to take my check away and I have to go through this rigorous process of reapplying again and proving that, you know, I need disability income?
Yeah, and that's definitely an issue we encounter in our work, and I'll certainly cover that in a second. The other, the last thing that we do is helping folks who get TANF, Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, benefits also,
with
independence and going back to work. So they're not on Social Security, but they're on the what used to be known as the Welfare to Work program, now called TANF. So, but let me go back and touch on that whole fear issue of going to work and what happens, not just to your cash benefits, but to your health care coverage. These are two important issues that people deal with. Lengthy explanations, but I'm going to keep it short for now and tell you that there are a number of resources in the community nationally to help people understand these benefits and to get the assistance that they need to deal with it. But, yeah, ultimately, people have a fear of, okay, I want to go to work, but what's going to happen to my cash benefits and my health care? And the short answer is that if you're on Social Security disability, you know, there's two types of benefits, SSI and SSDI, and the short answer is that for a time, especially on SSDI, you can work and have no impact on your cash benefits, but and earn as much as you want. But after 12 months, generally speaking, if you're earning above $1,010 or what we call substantial gainful activity, your cash stops. Now, it works differently on SSI, you know, and I, you know, we could talk about that in a minute, but the large majority of people are SSDI people, I think. And so there
may
are...
May I just interrupt for a moment, because we've got a lot of listeners that may not understand the term SSDI. For those listeners that are not aware of that, that's Social Security Disability Insurance Benefits. And so that's a government program that's available in the United States. So I just wanted to make sure that I interject that for our listeners out there, Larry, that may not be familiar with that program. Thank you. Please continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. There are work incentives in place, and a lot of people approach this and say, well, Social Security says they can only earn this much or they'll take away my benefits, and I challenge people to look at this from a different perspective, and that is they're giving me an opportunity to try working, see how it goes, and you know, just test the waters, if you will. That's the whole point. So,
test the waters, yes. That's where to put it.
Yeah, I think
so.
So
when they test these waters, what happens to them as far as the recording goes with Social Security and their case managers? You know, how do they? How can we make them feel more comfortable to make that step to waters?
Well, the best thing in terms of reporting, I mean, that you're working, the best thing you can do either on your own or if you have a case manager or some kind of service provider that helps with this, the best thing that you can do is to be monthly providing, getting copies of your pay stubs to your local Social Security office so that they can track your progress under the work incentives. There used to be, and I'll put a plug in here if for advocates out there, there used to be a program called WIPA, which was Work Incentives Planning and Assistance, that did a great job helping people with benefits planning and reporting earnings and all of these things. It was a great service.
Unfortunately,
the funding was cut for that program, and many of the programs, and very soon all of them nationally, will have shut down. And a large resource for people getting cash benefits will have gone away. There's a lot of efforts out there to get that restored. And I would say that if you want more information about that, if you're in the United States, your local Center for Independent Living or state rehab agency may have information about who the provider was in your community. And you might connect with them and see if you can't help in the advocacy efforts to restore that important program.
You see, what you're talking about are a lot of different things. You're talking about advocacy and support. You're talking about overcoming fear, overcoming the obstacles of rolling up our sleeves and saying, you know, I want to be part of the workforce. I want to be part of my community. I want to be a contributor. And those are concepts that people deal with, able-bodied, if you will, or not. You know, I mean, it's whether or not you really have the strength every day, emotionally and spiritually, to say, I want to do something different in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I
Absolutely.
Find that when we talk about people with disabilities, a person with a disability, sometimes we overlook the fact that personal and professional development is an equal opportunity for everyone to get involved with the things that we talk about on this show. And that is, again, that integrity, that the strength, the courage to say, I want to be a participant, I want to contribute in our world. So I hope that our listeners are taking that information in, that whether or not you look in the mirror at yourself and you see yourself as a person with disability or not, that the things that Larry is saying are applicable all, you know, to our lives, generally speaking.
I think everyone, no matter who you are, has to be involved in advocating for issues that are important to you. And those of us who have disabilities, this is a huge issue. We, you know, unfortunately, constantly have to be vigilant and watching out to make sure that programs people depend on and supports aren't taken away. So it's really vital that people take that seriously. And you know, you don't have to go to, you know, everybody does things differently, and if you're more comfortable with writing letters and making a phone call versus showing up and meeting with your congressman or woman, do what you can, you know.
Larry, tell us a little bit about, you said you have a disability yourself, and tell us about your story of overcoming, because, I mean, here you are, again, you know, we live in a society where we still have stigmas out there about, you know, well, you have a disability, you can't do anything, you're still not able to be a participant in the workforce. And here you are speaking to us on an international radio show, and you're the director of a major organization. You know, would you share with us a little bit, if you feel comfortable, sharing with us a little bit about your disability and your journey?
Sure. Well, I have a visual impairment, and, you know, I've had that all of my life. And But I've always, from when I was a young person or a child, if you will, to present day, always, you know, thought of myself as a part of normal society, if you will. I just approached things a little bit differently. So I went to regular school. I went to college. Before, I worked in the nonprofit world with a disability-oriented organization. I worked in the private sector. I worked in radio for a while. I did... you know, various jobs. And, you know, I just always have felt that, you know, I transitioned off of Social Security benefits probably almost 20 years ago now and have never been back. And, you know, I just decided that, you know, for me, I just want to, felt that I need to be out there and participating contributing and those sorts of things. I don't know how to describe it. I have the same expectations of myself that I think, you know, an able-bodied person would have of themselves. You know, I'm involved in a lot of other things besides disability issues.
What do you mean?
Well,
what are the things, like sports or?
Yeah, I do sports. So I'm into running. Work out a lot. I'm actually president right now of the Homeowners Association where I live.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of social things with people. So I think the point is that I do all these things, and I just happen to be a person with a disability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and that is exactly what I wanted you to bring out, is that I think even recently I just ran into someone who was very, very shocked that, you can't believe this in this day and age, 2012, that they were not aware of the resources available for people with disabilities to go to college. And she looked at me, here she was, she says, I know I have that dyslexic thing, she said. And but with my day and age, you couldn't go to college. There were no resources there. And
right.
I explained to her, yes, we have a great resource program at most of our colleges now, thanks to the Americans with Disabilities Act. And we will help you get through college. And her mouth just about fell open. Here she is, like 45 years old or so, saying, you know, I mean, I have a chance to actually roll up my sleeves and do something with my life. So we appreciate that. And that key that you talk about, that key that happens within you, it's a spiritual key. And it just says, I want to do something different. And so you transition off of the benefits. And you protect yourself, listeners. You protect yourself out there. Of course you will. You know, and you get the right advocate. You get the right support system going so that you don't make any errors. But I assure you, Larry, I mean, there's war stories out there, horrible stories about people, you know, making the step to test the water, as you say, and they get they lose their position in Social Security. And I don't think that that's totally true.
No, and,
right?
And I didn't complete my discussion here about what happens with your benefits. You, a person, most people don't know this, but these work incentives allow. You could go to work, and on the Social Security Disability Insurance, SSDI side of things, even for years after you leave cash benefits, if you kept working and 4 years later, for example, your disability made it so you could not work, you can get back on your benefits, and you don't have to reapply or anything. There's just a brief form you fill out and get that reinstated. So the point is that it's not as scary as people make it seem. And I always encourage people, instead of going to Social Security, I mean, they're trained to talk to people about how to get on benefits and keep your benefits. They're not really trained to talk about, but you could also try working and explaining these. So I always encourage people to go to somebody other than Social Security, somebody reputable and that you can trust, a good provider out there who can explain to you all of these work incentives and help you through the process.
Well, thank you so much. And I just want to open up a little bit. We have a few minutes remaining on the show. I wanted to make sure that any of our listeners out there that have any questions for Larry Winger and an appreciation for him being on the show this morning. We have our producer out here, Venus, on the line. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Just want to make sure if there are any questions out there or just kudos we want to give for Larry for being on our show this morning.
Yeah, just my hat's off to you and not letting society stigmatize you.
Mm-hmm.
And put you in the box.
Thank you.
Yep. Can't
Anyone
let
else?
That happen.
Right. Anyone have any questions online? Their line is open. The chat room is open. I see that they're okay. There's a kudo there. Just saying thank you, Larry, again, for being on our show this morning. We certainly appreciate the fact that we have the ability to share information like this. And we encourage you to tune in to the Student to Teacher show every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for more guests like Larry to come on and share what they're doing and share encouraging stories, not just about available resources, but take a little bit from his own personal story and share that with someone else that may be in a slump, that may not believe that they can do something, that they can really make it. Here you are with a gentleman with a visual impairment that's involved in the world, involved in participating. And we want you to feel very, very comfortable that you can do the same thing. So God bless all of you. Much love and peace. Larry, thank you so much for being part of our show this morning.
Thank you.
And I hope that you return with us. I hope that there's a possibility that I can call you in the future and that you'll come back on the show, at a very similar show to Adults with Disabilities in the Workplace.
Sure, I'd love to.
Thank you. And for closing, we leave you with this. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Thanks to Marianne Williamson writing those great words for Nelson's speech. And we close now with Wes Ricks from Two Worlds.
It's